It's 9:05. I'm Aaron Hart. We're going to ask you callers to wait for just a second. Phil, David, and Dave, we need a really big laugh, don't we? We do. And I want to talk about some of the sexism issues that are brought up in this bit from Saturday Night Live. I loved it when Tina Fey was vamping. You'll hear her laughing while Hillary is trying to go on and on, played by Amy Poehler. This is Tina Fey as Governor Sarah Palin and Amy Poehler as Hillary Rodham Clinton, Senator of New York, talking to the Saturday Night Live audience last Saturday. Here it is.
And now, a nonpartisan message from Governor Sarah Palin and Senator Hillary Clinton.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. I was so excited when I was told Senator Clinton and I would be addressing you tonight.
And I was told I would be addressing you alone.
Now, I know it must be a little bit strange for all of you to see the two of us together, what with me being John McCain's running mate
and me being a fervent supporter of Senator Barack Obama. As evidenced by this button.
But tonight we are crossing party lines to address the now very ugly role that sexism is playing in the campaign.
An issue which I am frankly surprised to hear people suddenly care about.
You know, Hillary and I don't agree on everything.
Anything. I believe that diplomacy should be the cornerstone of any foreign policy.
And I can see Russia from my house.
I believe global warming is caused by man.
And I believe it's just God hugging us closer.
I don't agree with the Bush doctrine.
I don't know what that is.
But, Sarah, one thing we can agree on is that sexism can never be allowed to permeate an American election.
So please, stop photoshopping my head on sexy bikini pictures.
And stop saying I have cankles.
Don't refer to me as a MILF.
And don't refer to me as a flurge. I Googled what it stands for and I do not like it.
Reporters and commentators, stop using words that diminish us like pretty, attractive, beautiful,
harpy, shrew, boner shrinker.
Politics may differ. My friend and I are both very tough ladies. You know, it reminds me of a joke we tell in Alaska.
Oh, boy.
What's the difference
Lipstick.
Between a hockey mom
Lipstick.
And a pit bull?
Lipstick.
Lipstick.
There you go.
Just look at how far we've come. Hillary Clinton, who came so close to the White House, and me, Sarah Palin, who is even closer. Can you believe it, Hillary?
I cannot.
It's truly amazing, and I think women everywhere can agree that no matter your politics, it's time for a woman to make it to the White House.
No, mine! It's supposed to be mine. I'm sorry, I need to say something. I didn't want a woman to be president. I wanted to be president, and I just happen to be a woman. And I don't want to hear you compare your road to the White House to my road to the White House. I scratched and clawed through mud and barbed wire, and you just glided in on a dog sled wearing your pageant sash and your Tina Fey glasses.
What an an amazing time we live in. Mm. To think that just 2 years ago, I was a small town mayor of Alaska's crystal meth capital. And now I am just one heartbeat away from being president of the United States. It just goes to show that anyone can be president.
Anyone. Anyone. Anyone.
All you have to do is want it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, Sarah, looking back, if I could change one thing, I probably should have wanted it more.
So, in the next 6 weeks, I invite the media to be vigilant for sexist behavior.
Although it is never sexist to question female politicians' credentials, please ask this one about dinosaurs. In conclusion, I invite the media to grow a pair. And if you can't, I will lend you mine.
And as we say in Alaska,
we say it everywhere.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night!
That was the best open of Saturday Night Live. I just had to pay it homage. I've been talking about it indirectly all week. I just had to let you listen to it in its entirety. You know, I've been told by my secret sources that certain male talk show hosts think that was sexist. Sexist? It's people who are sexist and look at women like that. I heard every stereotypical view of a woman, many of which have been hurled at me. And you know what? It's like, it was hilarious. It caught Hillary, you see, in order to be brilliant, parody has to be honest. And that is one of the most, one of the most brilliant parodies in this campaign, bar none. I hope Tina Fey and Amy Poehler come back again and again and again with that stuff. It's hilarious, it's wonderful, and it skews them both for where they needed to be skewered. So yay, yay, yay. If you could, my mic wasn't up, but I was laughing during that entire bit. It still makes me laugh. Phil in Wheat Ridge, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Yeah, it's a real honor to talk to you, Aaron. Listen,
Thank you, Phil.
I know how to find some credible inside dirt on the Sarah Palin Pentecostal religion. Have you ever heard of Marjo Gortner? M-A-R-J-O-E?
You mean,
He's a motion picture actor, G-O-R-T.
Didn't he used to be a preacher when he was a child?
Yes, and I saw him personally when I was 7 years old, and he was 7 years old, and I'm going to be 70 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he had an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible.
Right.
And he came out on stage, and he had blonde curly hair and blue eyes and a little white suit and little white shoes, and he had a little miniature accordion, and he was singing Jesus songs, and then he got into Genesis, and he was fantastic. Nobody could do it like he could. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that he did this for a number of years. What happened was he made a documentary several years later, and this is what I'm talking about, the Marjo Gortner documentary tapes. And I saw him about 17 or 18 years ago. He blew open the whole rotten internal aspects of the Pentecostal religion in that tape. And he told...
Let me just stop you right here, Phil, with all due respect. I mean, and people are free to investigate that, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I don't want to hop on Muslims. I don't want to hop on Assembly of God people. I don't want to hop on Pentecostals. I will not... You know, people's private, personal, religious beliefs. Look, I'm Jewish, but I don't necessarily follow Orthodox, and I will criticize, say, like those guys with the meatpacking plants in Iowa for hiring, you know, child labor and for abusing their employees immediately. But I am not going to criticize, even though I don't agree with anything
that Orthodox do.
But on the other hand, I just don't believe in doing that. I don't think that's a good way to go about it. I think what we need to do, I mean, I will say things like God's will is not a foreign policy because we have a constitution. But until and unless they start perpetrating some sort of massive fraud or violence against people, I don't believe in doing that. There are plenty of Pentecostals who are absolutely righteous people and nice people and good people. And I don't even even if people sometimes have personal qualms about it or turn against what they used to believe in, I still believe that this is a country where all religions are welcome and all expressions are welcome. So I will attack her if she tries to mix church and state, which the first show I did, I talked about the separation of church and state. And I'm happy and pleased and honored to do that because I believe in the strength of our Constitution. But just picking on somebody's religious faith per se, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with you at all because...
I know you don't.
Because what they did to him when he was a little boy, holding his head under the water in a wash basin, forcing him to learn biblical scripture so that he'd go out and...
Well, and those were those particular... Pentecostals. You have no idea if Sarah Palin went under that training, and I'm not sure how that applies to her today necessarily.
Their faith has not changed in 200 years. They're the same people that they were when I was a little kid. I saw these people...
Look, I'm not going to do this because I won't let somebody do it against Muslims. I'm not going to let somebody do it against Jews. I'm not going to let anybody do it against other sects of Christianity. So I respect your viewpoint, Phil.
If you saw those documentary tapes, if you could still get hold of them, you would change your mind.
I doubt it.
I really do.
I believe that there are fanatics in every religion, just as I believe that there are good people in every religion. So I would not turn against the entire thing. Thank you very much for your call, Phil. I appreciate it. And a lot of people have a lot of anger on something that they grew up with, and I can understand that. But ad hominem attacks, I don't go for those. Although I'm very mean to Sarah Palin. Here's what I'll say nice about her. What can I say nice about her? Her glasses are cool. She's risen very quickly. She's ambitious. I'm glad the Republican Party, it took them 24 years, but they finally got a woman to run for vice president. How's that? David in Boulder, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Oh,
hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. I want to tell you, you know, I listen to Jay as much as possible when I'm taking the kids in and whatnot, but I'm really only ever motivated to talk and call you. I really enjoy when you do a show. I think they need to syndicate you quickly.
Thank you. I agree with you completely.
Now, I want to respond a little. I've been on hold for a while, so I apologize for not being very newsy. I want to respond to some things that were said earlier last hour. I think that we really do need to focus on Sarah Palin, and this is why. One out of every five vice presidents becomes president during the term. It happens a lot, and when she was announced as the VP running mate, like most of us, I was laughing my rear end off. I thought it was hysterical. It was so transparent. It was so obvious. Well, I'm not laughing anymore. I'm scared to death.
No, the Republicans kind of like them dumb. And,
yeah,
you know, look at George Bush.
This is not Dan Quayle, and this is not George Bush, though. I'm looking at somebody not very bright, but I'm also looking at a megalomaniac. And those two things combined scare the ever-loving crap out of me. I think that she is not controllable in the same way that George Bush is controllable. I think if she, God forbid, something happens to John McCain and she gets the keys to the kingdom, she's going to use those keys. This is not George
Bush.
Well,
everybody should read
Dan
the New York
Quayle.
Times. Everybody should, excuse me for interrupting, David,
oh, no,
but everybody should read the New York Times article last Sunday, I believe it was, that covered her record and her vindictiveness and petty politics and partisan nonsense that she conducted while mayor and governor of Alaska.
Yeah, I think this is an incredibly dangerous pick. I think that we need to that we as a party need to focus on the lack of vetting and the sort of trampoline politics that John McCain is subscribing to now. I think it was you that actually said a few weeks ago, John McCain in 2004 would not vote for John McCain in 2008. And nobody really knows who John McCain is now because, you know, he's a reformer. Now he's not a reformer. And then this is a guy who is a deregulator, but now he's a regulator. I mean, there is simply no end to what this man will do, including putting our country at risk.
They should make a flip-flop ad. Yeah, no, yeah, they should.
This pick for a vice president is potentially one of the most dangerous moves a potential president has ever made.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. And thanks for calling in when I fill in. I appreciate it. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. You know, he raises some very, very good points. And if you have not read that New York Times article, you have to read it. Although the McCain team is going to do everything. The good old boy network has gone right up to Alaska and is trying to prevent reporters from finding anything out more out about Sarah Palin. They've tried to put a quash on the investigation of Troopergate, which she originally welcomed, and now she's trying to stonewall. And the reality is, you know, the Republican Party bitches and moans and complains about lawyers. I'm stealing this from the author of Bush's Brain. But they bitch and moan and cry and whine about lawyers until they need them to ride into town. Thousands of them, boom, just like locusts, flying into Alaska to put the kibosh on any kind of new, any more bad news getting out about Sarah Palin. Yeah, they don't like, you know, lawyers until they need them. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, and I'm thinking of the election 2000. You're absolutely right. 303-713-7600. It's 921. Time to go to John Turk with Colorado's Progressive Traffic coming up.
His first reaction to this crisis on Monday was to stand up and repeat the line that he said over and over and over again throughout this campaign. I quote, "The fundamentals of our economy are strong."
We, the fundamentals of the United States of America, reject being called objects. Talk about sexism, talk about manism, talk about, oh, it's terrible. Femaleism, whatever. I think you call sexism. I think you'd be sexist against men, too, just for the record. 925, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Greg O. sent both, and thank you, Greg, John and I a note, and I forgot to mention it today. Hackers did break into the Yahoo email account of Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, who, taking a page out of the Rove Cheney playbook, decided to, oh, I know, I'll do official business of Alaska's governor, but on my own private email so that nobody can ever subpoena my records or the petty little mean things I do out of the sight of the general public. Yeah, no, thank you. I don't think they should have hacked her email, but I don't blame them. She calls herself gov.sarah. Now, excuse me, gov.sarah, gov.palin account? Come on, stop it. Her husband calls himself FEK9 owner, meaning that he's a fair iron worker owner, or why iron canine owner. It's the iron dog. It's the race up there. Iron dog snowmobile race, if I can get that out of my face. Now, here's the thing. I don't believe in hacking people's personal accounts at all, but if you're using them to conduct government business so that you can stay out of the scrutiny, then you know what? In a way, you deserve what you get. Because you have no business doing that. And we need to change the law immediately that if you use your private personal email accounts to conduct business, they're subject to subpoena as well. Period. Full stop. If you talk about those subjects wherever they are logged, that's where what you have to turn over legally. Dave in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning to the J. Marvin Show. I'm well. You?
I'm good. You know, I was actually calling. I'm registered independent voter, and I usually vote by, you know, whatever, you know, stance I'm taking at the time for what I think is going to do best country. And I don't know why more people aren't really talking about it, but as a citizen of this country, I'm really offended by the Republican Party for choosing somebody like Sarah Palin. It just tells me that they think people are just so dumb that they'll just vote for her because they put her up on stage, you know, and sad as it is, a lot of people will.
Well, I think the Republican Party does think that the voters are dumb. I think they consistently and constantly treat them like they're dumb. I think they did it when they put up George Bush, you know, who wasn't that powerful of a governor of Texas, you know. And when you listen to them talk, just listen to the way that they speak to people. And, you know, Barack Obama has been criticized for being too professorial, too highfalutin. But he uses language in a wonderful way and challenges us to think about what he says. You know, and I know it's fashionable to be soundbite-itis and all that stuff. But, you know, when I listen to the way they speak and the way that they flip-flop and the way that they have lied, quite frankly, in their ads, and I think of the old John McCain, who, again, I wouldn't vote for because of his stance on choice and other ways that he, I think, has diminished the rights of women. But, you know, he at least was a straight talker on the press. And I think the press that worked with him were suckered by that for a very long time. They kept looking for the old John McCain. And if I said it again, I'll say it again. I don't think the John McCain of 2000 or 2004 even would vote for this John McCain. I think he would be really disappointed in this John McCain.
You know, and I have noticed lately since, you know, the last month or so, the Republican Party quit using the term flip-flopping because, well, that's all they're doing pretty much in this entire campaign is turning back on what they've been saying. So they've just taken that, they just quit even saying that to anybody else because they know it's going to come back on them.
You know, I don't know if I noticed that. Good spot, my friend.
And then also on the radical Islam thing, which I think is also just disgusting that they're doing it because it just shows the rest of the world how unbelievably racist our country still is. But I fear, in my own personal beliefs, I fear radical Christian right more than I fear the radical Islamic movement that's across the world.
I fear radicals who are atheists. You know, I fear people who are not empathetic, who believe in killing other people for their own personal and private beliefs just because they have them. I don't particularly care if they're religious, but I'm with you. I think the extreme religious right is infinitely scary. Look what I work in a profession where they slaughtered Alan Berg, you know, and some of us don't forget those things. You know, the right-wing wackos from up here came down and shot him in his driveway. So
anybody who takes their religion that far and is trying to push it on everybody around them has just, I don't know how they can call themselves American. I don't know.
I don't know either. It is a test of the tensile strength of our country, though. And I'm hoping, you know, Dave, I'm hoping that Colorado, voters in Colorado, that all of us stand up and go and vote and show those people who think of the United States as a racist, bigoted, terrible country, just how wonderful we can be, just how open and inclusive we can be. I'm tearing up because it means so much to me. I want people to see my country for what the way I see it, which is interracial and multiracial and multi-beliefs and a country so wonderful in terms of the ladder and the strength and the spinal cord that we have in the Constitution, that even though we were built on a terrible legacy of bigotry against Native Americans and against African Americans, we can survive that and change it and persevere and triumph.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, I have to go. I literally get choked up when I think about things like that. You know, I really want us to appeal to the better angels of our nation this election, absolutely, and our nature, to paraphrase Lincoln.
I completely agree. Our country needs it at this point.
It does.
People who don't see that, I just, you know, I see them as just racist myself.
See, and that
you know?
Is... That's the true meaning of redemption to me. That's the true meaning of faith. That's the true meaning of triumph over evil. That's what it means to me, is when you stand up and you vote what you know to be right and true for your country, and don't say bigoted, racist things like we don't need a black house, like that voter in Pennsylvania told the press.
Yeah, well, you know, and like I was telling some friends, maybe some of these people who have these stances are going to go into this private voting booth, you know, and it's going to come to them, you know, that, you know, God they keep talking about is watching what they do.
I know. Well, if my God watching what I do tells me, you know, I guess I have a right to make up my own mind and I have free will. That's what my religion tells me. And my free will tells me to vote for Barack Obama. I'm not sure what the Almighty would want, but I wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way. thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. This election does mean a lot to all of us, and we need to act accordingly. 9:33, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. And here's John Turk with traffic. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. I'm filling in on the J. Marvin Show. One more day with you tomorrow. This particular stint, delighted to have you aboard. It's, you know, I really love to work, as you know, and I also, as a resident, lifelong, off and on in Colorado, I just need to say, turn out to vote, please. Our state really can make the difference in electing Barack Obama. So get out there and work. Renee in Denver, welcome to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I want to say that there was a pastor on the Ed Schultz show who I thought was very insightful.
The evangelical pastor.
Yeah, he said that Republicans would never change Roe versus Wade because it was always the main reason people voted for them. And they had the chance. They could have probably tried to do it with Bush in and the Supreme Court. They have a majority, but they didn't. So people are using that as the
because
only reason.
Injured.
I don't know if you saw Ben Stein on the Larry King show last night, but he was practically jumping out of his skin, saying, I'm for McCain, but he has to have a plan. He has to deregulate. He has to do something. He has no plan, but I'm for McCain. And then it came out that because he was pro-life. And that was the reason. And I want to have a world that I want to bring children into. And the Republicans.
The trouble with Republicans to me is they don't seem to give a damn after the child is actually in the world. You know, as of 1 minute outside the womb, they're like, okay, it's your problem now. See ya. Don't want to be ya. You know, I have no interest in that. I'm being cruel and callous there. But you know what? Their social policies reflect it. They really are. Everybody on their own, survival of the fittest.
I mean, you can't afford to bring a child into the world with the health insurance there is today for the most part. And, you know, I have a child that has an immune disorder that he's going to have his whole life. And I'm terrified what his life is going to be like if he can't get health insurance. You know, he'll work to support himself, but that thing might, you know, work against him constantly. And anyway, I wanted to bring up that there was a video I saw of Palin before she was selected of accusing Hillary about whining about her treatment by the press.
Of being a whiner. I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
And also the where McCain is blaming Palin for the collapse of the bridge where people died because of taking the money for the Bridge in Alaska. There's a tape of that.
Ooh, a clip of him criticizing Governor Palin specifically?
Yes. And
ooh.
It was either on Keith Olbermann or Rachel Maddow. I'm not sure which one.
I missed it. I must have been half asleep during one of their segments. I had other fish to deal with yesterday. Okay.
And I just wanted one quick question. Can a person, polling person, call my house and say that do I want them to send me an absentee ballot? Because I thought I had to do that. So I wondered.
You have to request it. That sounds fishy to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because somebody did. And they said they were from Obama, but I know the McCain people are sending out false ballots.
See, I don't like the candidates themselves. Yeah, I don't like the candidates themselves sending out absentee ballots. I'll tell you what, I'll do some checking. Maybe we can do some checking, John, with the election commission or whatever to ask them. Because the other thing I've heard is that, you know, McCain's sending out absentee ballots that are actually, you know, hi, vote for me.
Right.
And the reality, and they're also, you know what they're doing in Michigan, which is really disgusting? They're getting mortgage foreclosure lists and trying to shut those people out from voting.
You know, I heard that, but I'm also so glad that we're trying to catch them at all their cheating. You know,
yes, Barack Obama has a lot of money set aside, as I understand it, to deal with those very things.
So,
this will be no repeat of John Kerry lie down and not fight. That still makes me angry at him, and I supported him.
That part is the scariest thing of all, that they're going to cheat, because they've been doing.
Well, it's the only way they seem to be able to win the presidency of the United States, sadly.
Okay. Well,
thank you very much. Thank you. 941. Let's try not to be too paranoid, though. Everybody show up to vote. Ron in Lakewood, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Thank you for waiting on the J. Marvin Show. Good morning. I'm Aaron Hart.
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm well, Ron.
Hey, this thing with the religion that really gets me is like my pastor at my church says, everybody claims, you know, God's on our side, but he says, are we on God's side?
And that's the paraphrase much more closely to Lincoln than the one Sarah Palin tried to bastardize.
Yeah.
By the way, while she was quoting Westbrook Pegler, who was a right-wing reactionary anti-Semite bigot writing in the earlier part of the 20th century. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I just get tired of the hypocrisy, you know, of religious bents from either the left or the right who want, you know, separation of church and state unless it's their ox getting gored.
Yeah,
or political correctness.
Yeah, no, I think that's the genius of our country, actually. I think our country is diverse and has many religions and attracts people to move here from all over the world who are attracted by our Constitution for that very reason. Because instead of falling into the fratricidic kinds of tribal warfare that has plagued most of the rest of the world, and plagued ours, let's face it, and still does, still. And we had a civil war over some very deeply held beliefs. Which were set, you know, slavery was an abomination and should have been fought over, and so should have the economic hegemony of the North versus the South. But it's very, you know, we almost rent ourselves asunder then, and I do not want to see us descend. I think one of the reasons why we can try and free ourselves from the cacophony of racial hatred and bigotry and prejudice is because we do have a constitution. And we must never forget that as people like George Bush, Dick Cheney, David Addington, and others try to eviscerate it.
And you know, you talked about this thing about slavery, and then I see U.S. corporations, you know, I'm a conservative myself, but I get tired of U.S. corporations that are making big money in using things like Made in the USA, but they're in trust islands in the Pacific, like the Marianas or stuff we took from the Japanese. They've set up factories there, and they held import Chinese and Philippine workers under
right.
slave conditions.
Yeah, under terrible conditions.
To make Ralph Lauren polo shirts.
Yes, and wasn't it that terrible guy from Texas? Remember him? He used to be whipped the stick about, majority leader. Oh, God, terrible ferret face. He was actually an exterminator. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. He was one of, Tom DeLay was one of the ones who went down and benefited, took junkets with, how come he never went to jail? Because what's his name just got another sentence added to his, thank goodness. So, yeah, we have to tie these guys every day to the kinds of criminal behaviors that they have been conducting. And I agree with you, Ron. Thanks so much for your call.
Yeah.
It's 303. 713-7600. Oh, God, I'm blank. I can see his face walking in the black fedora and the too tight raincoat, and I can't remember his name. Why is that? I didn't take my ginkgo biloba this morning. Reggie in Denver, welcome to the J. Marvin Show and Aaron Hart hosting. How are you?
Good morning. Aaron, I want to start my remarks by quoting, they say it's P.T. Barnum or H.L. Mencken, that you'll never go broke underestimating the stupidity of the American people or something like that. The Republicans run their same playbook every 4 years as Ed Schultz said, guns, gods, and gays. When it gets tough, they go back to that. They fall back on that.
The cultural wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
The senator, late senator from Nebraska, Roman Ruska, said, speaking about G. Harold Caldwell, when Nixon had nominated him for the Supreme Court in 1970, that even the mediocre people need a chance. So, you know, we ought to all feel good out here that McCain has given a mediocre person a chance. There's hope for all of us.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think McCain is mediocre. I don't think
he has
a first-class mind.
That segues perfectly into what I was going to say. Read the book by Robert Timbor, Nightingale Song. If you read that book, the guy who ought to be president of the United States between me and you, and everyone's listening, is a guy named Jim Webb from Virginia. I love that guy. In the book Nightingale Song, John McCain was a mess up from the very beginning. He dumped two or three planes in the ocean. And, Aaron, I'm going to just be honest with you. McCain's service in Vietnam was not anything to shout about. They called him a hero. The guy got shot down in Vietnam by accident of faith. And how he handled it, I'll give him credit for that, how he says he handled it. But just as they attacked John Kerry for his service in Vietnam, I think McCain's service could be questioned also. The guy simply would have been kicked out of the military if his father had not been an admiral. He dumped a plane in Pensacola. He caused a big fire on a flat top. And I think he dumped another plane in the ocean in training. So the guy's not a first-rate military mind.
I think in his judgment, look at him having to be coached by Joe Lieberman about Shias and Sunni. I mean, look at him on ABC Good Morning America. I saw a clip of that, and it was like he and his wife both. It was like, God, not only are you ignoring questions, but you're not making any sense, either one of you.
I just,
how could he be so tone deaf as to come out and say something inane and stupid, a cliche like the fundamentals of the U.S. economy are sound? It's like, right.
Let me touch one other thing. You just started to talk about a little bit when you talked about Westward Pegler and Sarah Palin. Very subtle. See, we have to recognize that words have power to some people. Oftentimes we just gloss over, but she says this is a writer. She quotes this writer unnamed. The writer she quotes is Westward Pegler. If you go back and look at Westward Pegler, you can go back and look at the guy. The guy was a racist. He was a rabid anti-Semite.
Rabid.
The stuff he said about Jews. I mean, the stuff he said about black people, the stuff, he hated everybody. She quotes this guy, though.
And, equal opportunity hater, and she chose to quote him.
Yeah, but she doesn't... They don't tell us, where is he? Who is this guy? Who's her favorite? Who's the writer she's quoting? Well, it turns out she's quoting it. What does that tell us about her? Who else is she reading? Who else does she like?
That's a very good question. I think a reading list would tell people a lot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your call, Reggie. I really appreciate it. And I'll try to check out Nightingale's song pretty quick. Thank you so much. No, I like Jim Webb, too, except he's said some things about women, and he was involved with Tailhook. So he has to do some kissing up to me. Let's put it that way. 303-713-7600. As a voter, I'm talking. As a voter. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. And, words do have power. Words do matter. And the reality is that Sarah Palin has been talking out of both sides of her mouth. And don't just believe me. Go check out her record. The reporters are finally up there doing the vetting that the McCain campaign should have done. People say, don't pick on her. Don't pick on her. It's not sexist to pick on her. It's sexist not to pick on her. It isn't sexist to talk about who she is. It's sexist to find it out, not to find it out. It's sexist to ignore her record. It is sexist to try to shout people down, okay? That's it. 303-713-7600. It's interesting. Political has a new posting called The Arena, or new to me anyway. And it says, now it's McCain's turn to struggle as he attempts to refashion himself from regulatory skeptic to regulatory cop. How would you advise his campaign to handle this big issue that's not going away? And guess who's a member of this panel? It would be Patricia Schroeder, president of the Association of American Publishers, our old friend from District 1, says McCain was the chairman of the Commerce Committee for years, so he should pull out that credential and come up with a plan. That's a nice left-handed compliment. Like, why doesn't he have one already? 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart. Check out The Arena on the Politico. It's my tip to political junkies of the day. I'd love to talk to you about whatever. I'll throw it open to whatever you would like to talk about. If you want to talk about a local issue, such as the Muslims being fired at the meatpacking plant up near Greeley, Swifts. If you want to talk about whatever you would like to talk about, is fine by me. 303-713-7600. Are you voting for Marilyn Musgrave? I couldn't. If I were still living in near Greeley or a nun, I would happily flip the lever for Betsy Markey. Even more after hearing her today. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Stand by for Progressive Traffic with John Turk, which is coming up next. It's 9:51. Hi, it's Erin Hart. We've got about 3 minutes here, so let me thank Thera back in the studio and John Turk, as always. for also snagging us Newsweek's columnist and senior editor Jonathan Alter, as well as candidate for the Congressional 4th District in Colorado. That would be Betsy Markey. Thank you all for your phone calls, too. We have about 3 minutes left. I'm going to devote as much of them as possible to you, but if I don't get to you today, call us back tomorrow. We'll have mostly open line with a sprinkle of a few guests. Frank in Lakewood, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron, you're doing a great job, great show. Just a quick comment. Your viewers want a really great read. Go to wikipedia.com. I'm sure they know what that is, but wikipedia.com. Mm-hmm. Put in Sarah Palin's name, and it is both terrifying and it is very, very funny. But go to Wikipedia, put her name in, you'll have a blast. You'll see, and it's important because you'll see what kind of a vice president she might be. Because it's all laid out there, all the facts, all the attributions. You can jump to the videos. You can see what she did as mayor. She raised taxes. She raised the deficit when she was mayor. She's a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
No, she's a nightmare. If you're fiscally conservative, you don't want Sarah Palin. If you believe in a woman's right to choose, or even if you want to limit it to only victims of rape and incest, you don't want Sarah Palin. If you believe in equal pay for women, you don't want Sarah Palin. You know, I could go down the line.
And I think what the Republicans say they want, which was somebody who's fiscally responsible, someone who's experienced, look at her record.
Look at her record. Exactly.
Absolutely contrary to what the Republicans say she's all about. It's a lie. It's all a lie. But anyway, great show, and I'll listen tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you will be. Kevin in Loveland, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. First-time caller. I wanted to get your reaction to an observation I've had since about 2002, and that is that the most powerful weapon that the Democratic Party has had at their disposal in being able to reach the momentum that they have at this point going into the election is George W. Bush. I don't really hear it discussed much, but my observation as a voter is that people react negatively to performance that they disagree with, and I believe that the party, and I'm not a Democrat, but if I were, is not listening to what the electorate is telling them, and that is that, hey, we rejected some of these ideas of the previous 8 years, but they're hungry for some action and truth. And I
think they could do much more of that. I'm on board with you, Kevin, and thanks for making this your first-time call to talk radio. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut it a little short because we're running out of time for the show.
Okay, well, I'm going to vote for John McCain. I don't think Palin's any more dangerous than anybody else.
Oh, I think
either ticket.
Check out her record. You talk to me again, my friend, because I don't know. Check out her record first. Thank you so much. It's 58 after the hour. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks, John Turk. Thanks, Thera. And thank you all for a great show. Laverne in Denver, sorry we didn't have enough time for you. And Kevin, again, I apologize for having to cut you short. Join us tomorrow. Thanks.